Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Testament lesson from today comes from Isaiah chapter 45, starting with verse 1. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light, create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends in Christ Jesus, first week in August, I went home to visit my father. And on the second evening that I was there, all of my siblings came over and we had supper together, and afterwards we did what we loved to do, we played euchre. It was my brother Larry, my brother Alan, my brother Kurt, myself, my sister Sally, and Dad, just the six of us. We took a break during our car playing, and my sister said to me, she said, I found something in Mom's cedar chest upstairs I want you to see. And so she went up the stairs, and a moment later she returned, and she had three bundles of cloth with her, and the first two that she opened, they were banners that somebody had made, and as soon as she showed them to us, we four boys all said right away, those must be yours, because they're way too neat to be any of our work. But the third one she opened was this one I've got hanging up here. I think we've got a picture to show you, too. Would you roll that next one? There it is. It says on there, the 450th year of the Reformation, the 95 Theses. Well, I looked at the handwriting and I said, sure looks like my scribble on there. And as I thought about it a little bit, I thought, 450th year. You know, 31st of October this year is the 500th. Anniversary of the Reformation, that Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg. And being an excellent math student, I took my age of 63 and subtracted 50 from it and came up with 13. And I thought, all right, where was I in the fall of my 13th year? And then it hit me. All right, I was in the 8th grade. We're just starting my 8th grade confirmation year at St. Michael's Lutheran School. And I vaguely then remembered that Mr. Lutz, our 8th grade teacher, had assigned us to make a banner for the 450th anniversary of the Reformation. Well, when I brought it home, unbeknownst to me, my dear sainted mother had folded it carefully in a cedar chest, which we kids had learned from the time we were this big, we dare not ever go into that cedar chest. That was Mom's, her treasures in there. That banner laid in there for 50 years. And then my sister found it. And as soon as I looked at it, I said, oh yeah, that's going home with me. That's going to show up in a sermon. And here it is. Coincidence? Maybe. But I don't think so. I don't think it's a coincidence at all. Because I think that there are times and places in our lives that if we pay attention, we see God leading us, guiding us, turning us around corners that we had no intention of going, had no idea we were going to, because it serves a purpose that He has. I suspect that happens in your life. I know that it happens in mine. I'll give you a couple examples. About a month ago, I was at Floyd Memorial. Oh, I'm sorry, Baptist Health Floyd. I was up on the fourth floor visiting somebody, and I intended to go down the elevator to the second floor, go across the bridge, and then out to the back where my car was parked. But I was distracted by something, and then the next thing I knew, I had ridden the elevator down to the first floor, so I was in the front of the new part of the hospital where the registration area is. I thought, oh, well, all right, I'll walk around the other way. There's more than one way to get out of here. But I decided, since I know there's a shortcut I could take through behind the registration area, that I cut through there. And as I did that, I almost bumped into, physically almost bumped into, two people from our congregation, Joe Manners and his wife Marilyn. And I could see at a glance that Joe was feeling very poorly. He's got diabetes, he's going through dialysis, and they had brought him in to get some blood tests. And so I offered to pray with the two of them. And Marilyn said to me, she said, thank you, Pastor, you came just when we needed you. And I said, no, thank God, because I had no intention of being here at all this morning. I was headed in a whole different direction. But He made sure I was there at just that moment. But as it is, I find myself in a place at a time exactly where I was supposed to be. I suspect that that is true for all of us at some point. And I wonder, do you see God's fingerprints in your life? It's often easier when we look back behind us, right? When we look back at some of the directions we went, some of the things that came upon us that we had no knowledge of, no intention, no precursor. It's just those things happen when we look back and we see that God turned a corner for us there, that He opened a door that we didn't know was there. Those kinds of things happen in the lives of God's people. They happen often, I think. In our text for today, we've got the prophet Isaiah. He's talking about a king named Cyrus, right? You realize that the Cyrus he's talking about isn't even born yet when Isaiah says these words. Isaiah makes this prophecy somewhere between 120 and 150 years before all of those things transpire. But God has given him the word that this one named Cyrus is going to be God's chosen instrument to bring blessing to His people. There's a purpose to it all. There's a plan to it all. And in God's life and in His work, He uses various people, various circumstances to work out His will. And I think He does that in your life too. I think there's a reason you're sitting here today. And it's because God put you there. He led you there. He encouraged and urged you. And you followed what He was leading, and you're here for a purpose today. I think that's true in our lives. God works His will in our lives. He works His will in our nation. He works His will in the world as a whole, because He is God of history. The Old Testament lesson today, he's talking about this guy named Cyrus. If you go to the beginning of the book of Isaiah, you would hear Isaiah talking about another king. He talks there about a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, they have two very different purposes in God's plan. Nebuchadnezzar, the warning is at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, children of Israel, if you don't turn away from your sin, if you don't stop worshiping false gods, and you don't stop making use of each other, then I'm going to allow my king Nebuchadnezzar to come, and he will be the scourge of Israel. He will destroy the walls of Jerusalem. He will destroy the temple, and he will carry you off into exile. And they didn't listen, and that's exactly what happens. Here in chapter 45, Isaiah is talking about a guy named Cyrus who isn't even born yet, but he's saying that Cyrus is going to have a different role. That Cyrus is going to be Israel's savior with a small s. He even calls him my anointed one. He speaks of a king who, by the way, is going to be a total pagan. He's not going to acknowledge the God of Israel as his God. He's not even going to acknowledge the God of Israel as a God worth talking about. But what Cyrus never realized, that Cyrus didn't know, but that Isaiah's already predicting, is that Cyrus is going to be God's instrument to bring blessing to Israel, because they're in exile for 70 years. It's Cyrus, the Persian, who allows the Israelites to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the walls, and rebuild the temple. How about in Jesus' day, the Roman Empire? The Israelites chafed under that. The Jews chafed under the Roman Empire. Rome covered everything east to west, north to south, the whole Mediterranean basin was all under the thumb of the Romans. And you have the emperors like Augustus, who's the emperor when Jesus is born, Tiberius, who's the emperor when Jesus is crucified, Claudius, who sends the Jews out of Rome, sends them away from Italy and says they have to live someplace else. And that affects St. Paul and his ministry. And then finally Nero, who brings persecution upon the church. None of those guys ever came to know Christ. None of them ever acknowledged that the God of Israel was the God of the universe. They were all pagans. And yet God used every one of them in his own fashion to shape and protect and to bless the church so that it grew in their time. Guys like Pontius Pilate and the governor Felix and governor Festus, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Christ. They didn't believe in him. But God used them, every one of them, to further his will with perfect timing. Do you think that was a coincidence? No. It was in accordance with God's will. How about Martin Luther? Martin Luther comes along, and by the 1500s, the gospel has been so encrusted with the tradition of the church that there's hardly any gospel left. Everybody's being told all the things you have to do, all the rules you have to keep, all the monies you have to put in. And along comes Pope Leo X. Leo has great plans. He wants to build the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul in Rome, that big church that you could go and visit today. He wanted to build that thing, but the treasurer said, "We don't have the money for that." Okay, that's a problem, except that there's this family up in northern Germany who want their son to be the bishop of two places, two bishoprics, so they offer to give the Pope a big pile of money so he can build that great big church. Now, they've got a problem because they don't have that much cash. So they go to a banking family in Germany named the Fuggers, and they borrow a bunch of money from them. Now they got to pay the bankers back, right? Well, the Pope says, okay, I'll allow you to issue indulgences in my name, so we'll sell to you a piece of paper that says, for the gift of money that you give to the church, the Pope will give you so many years out of purgatory. Martin Luther, by then a student of the Word, finds nothing in the Word about indulgences, finds nothing in the Word about popes, finds nothing in the Word about so much of what's going on in the church, that he's incensed. And so he writes down 95 theses, 95 things he wants to argue, debate, at his university, and he nails it on the door on the 31st of October in 1517, 500 years from Halloween this year. Do you think that was all coincidence, that it just happened? Better yet, Luther is branded a heretic. And for all intents and purposes, they're going to snatch him, send him to Rome. He's going to be tried as a heretic and undoubtedly would have been burned at the stake. Martin Luther's whole obituary would have lasted about this big. Except that Martin's got a prince, the Prince of Saxony, Prince Frederick, who protects Luther from all of that. Add to that that Gutenberg had invented the printing press just about 50 years before this, and so now all of Luther's things can be very quickly printed up and reproduced and sent out all over Europe. Add to that that the Pope is a little bit preoccupied with something else. He doesn't have as much time and as much resource to spend on Luther and the Reformation, because knocking at the eastern door of Europe are the Turks, who have been taking over one country after the other to turn them from Christianity to Muslim. And they are at the doors and the gates of Vienna in Austria. They get through there, they're coming down into Europe. And so the Pope and the kings all have that other occupation. Do you think that's all coincidence? That those things are just accidents of history? I don't. Do you know why there are Lutherans in America? Two guys. A guy named Bismarck and a guy named Kaiser Wilhelm I. They managed to get all the German states to band together and make one united Germany for the first time in history. They band together and there's going to be one nation. There's a reason they do that, because they hate the French. Because the French have repeatedly been whipping up on the Germans and the Prussians, and so they get all together now. Now everybody knows, as soon as they're ready, there's going to be another war. So what do the German mamas say to their boys? Hans, get out of here. Go to America. Oh, and by the way, the Kaiser, he's now got one government, he's got one education system, he's got one language, they've got one of everything, except he's got a problem. There are two major religions in Germany, the Lutherans and the Calvinists. And he says, that's no good. We got one of everything now, we're just going to make one church. And so he simply decrees one day, oh, there's going to be one United Church of Germany, you guys get along. Well, the Lutherans don't get along with the Calvinists at all. They see things much differently. And so one after another of the German pastors say, I cannot live under this system. I'm going to America. And so, first in bits and drabs, and then pretty soon by the boatload, Germans come sailing across the ocean and they land in New Orleans. They get on steamships and they get dropped off at places like Missouri, Perry County. They end up in places like St. Louis. They come up the Ohio. They land in places like Lanesville, out in the wilderness out there. Or they come up through the St. Lawrence Seaway and up through the Great Lakes, and they land at places like Detroit and Frankenmuth, Chicago. That's where most of us came from, us German Lutherans anyway. Do you think that was all coincidence that those things happened? No, it was the way God used our sinfulness, our rebelliousness, the rebelliousness of the world, and yet God is able to turn those things and use them for good. Somebody once said that God is able to write straight with a crooked pen. And what that means is simply that even when the world, even when emperors and kings and popes, when they are not following God's rule, God's law, God's way, God is still able to shape and point things so that his church continues to grow, that his people continue to be blessed, and that you and I are the beneficiaries of all that went before. I said that God was the God of history, but I also believe that God is the God of your story, that in your life, he's working to make things happen. Now, I'll tell you just from my, you know why I'm standing right here today? It's because way back in 1984, I graduated with a degree, a master's degree in educational administration. All right, so I want to be a principal, right? I want to be a Lutheran principal. So I put my name on a call list, and I decided, you know, I really didn't want to go to Indiana. I didn't want to go to Indiana. Bobby Knight was in Indiana. But I decided that I would put Indiana, the Indiana district, in the area where they would send my name, because I looked at the map and I thought, well, you know, Fort Wayne wouldn't be that far away from Mom and Dad, and South Bend wouldn't be that far away. Well, where did I get a call? I got a call to Evansville, Indiana, to Darmstadt. In you look at the map, there was only one school in the whole Indiana district further away from my mom and dad's home than that one. And that was the one in Evansville, 7 miles further south. So Becky and I are going to drive there, going to meet him, going to take a look. But I'll tell you what, we drove out of Detroit, got as far as Terre Haute, and I said, there's no way I'm taking this call. I don't want to live this far away from Ma and Pa and all that. Then I turned south and I went down 41 and I got to Vincennes, or Vincennes, depending on where you're from. And I said, there's no way I'm taking this call. And we finally get to Darmstadt and we pull in the yard and I see the building and I go, no way I'm taking this call. And then we went into the building and I said, no way I'm taking this call. Then I went into the principal's office. That man had been there 30 years. He was going to stay on as my 7th and 8th grade teacher, too, yet, which that was another reason I said I'm not taking this call. The office was full of, I found Sunday school material in there that was published in 1956. I was born in 54, so that stuff was almost as old as me. That evening, Becky and I were in our bedroom, just the two of us, and I said, there's no way that we're coming here. There's no way I'm taking this call. And then Saturday came, and I started meeting the people. Met with the faculty, met with the principal, met with the pastor, met with the school board, met with the elders. And on Sunday, as we were driving back to Detroit, the closer I got to Detroit, the more absolutely sure I was that's where God wanted me to go. Now, that's not the end of the story. So I end up in Darmstadt, Indiana. The day that we moved in, I was putting Krista's bed together in her bedroom. I was sweating and thinking, this was a terrible mistake. I'm going to die in southern Indiana. It's too hot here. And all at once, I look up, and there's two men in suits standing in the door of her bedroom smiling at me. I thought, government men, you know? No, they introduced themselves. It was Woody Zimmerman, president of the Indiana District, and one Reuben Garber, first vice president of the Indiana District. And they said, you must be the new principal. And yes, I am. And who are you guys? You know, and they introduced themselves. Well, Reuben Garber was my predecessor here by two at Grace. And little did I know that he had left a bunch of Garbers behind here when he left, and we still have him with us to this day. 2 years after I met him, he called me one day and asked me if I would preach for him in Owensboro. And I hadn't even gone to seminary yet. But he had heard that I was preaching once a month because we were vacant. Our pastor had taken a call, and he had invited me once a month to lead the worship. And so he asked me to go to Owensboro, so I did that. 2 years later, Reuben Garber is the president of the Indiana District, and it is time for me to get a vicarage assignment. And guess where Reuben Garber sent me? He sent me to Grace Lutheran Church, New Albany, Indiana. Now, I had no intention, by the time I got to Terre Haute, of taking that call to Darmstadt, but the Lord called, and I answered, and I'm here today. Now, folks, that's just my story. That's just part of my story. But I will bet that if you look into your lives, you will see those places where you turned a corner, where you went to a place you weren't expecting to go, you did something you really didn't want to do, but you knew it was the thing you should do, and you did it anyway. You did those things. It's because the Lord has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And he calls us to be faithful, and he says, trust me. And when we trust him, when we follow along, we find out that there was purpose in it all. You are sitting where you are sitting right this minute because that was part of God's plan for you. You maybe got up this morning and said, I don't know. I know I did. Oh, man, I got to get up, I got to get dressed, got to go, it's going to be a long day. And yet when we listen, when we follow, when we trust, God works things out in our lives. And that's how the church has advanced. That's how Lutheranism has advanced. That's how Christianity has advanced across the world, is because there were people who went where they didn't want to go, who listened to the Lord when they really wanted to hear something else, but they were faithful and they trusted and they went. Now, yeah, we're sinners. We have to confess that all the time. And there are times when the Lord says, go this way, and we purposely go like this. But when we recognize that we went the wrong way and we repent, and we turn back to the Lord and we pay attention to what He's calling us to, we realize that God is the one working out things in our lives. And St. Paul in Romans 8, he says, now if God is for us, who can be against us? There's a sense in this that when we put our hand into God's hand and we let Him lead, then He's got purpose. He's got direction. He's got a point and a purpose to it all. We don't always see just how that's working, especially in the moment. But God works things for the good, for His people all the time. I found that banner, right? 50 years that banner just laid there in Ma's cedar chest. I didn't know it was there. None of us knew it was there. Mom forgot that it was there. It laid there for 50 years. Now, my sister could have gotten interested in that cedar chest in November, and it would have been a little late for this. She could have found it earlier and said, old piece of junk, throw it out with the other stuff she didn't want. But no, she found it, I saw it, and it's here today, part of the sermon. Coincidence? No, I don't believe that at all. No, because our God is an awesome God. We sing that, right? An awesome God who does things by design. That's why you're here too. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.